Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Show that isn't afraid to jinx itself by jumping the shark. Why? Because we're not superstitious. And we aren't afraid to tempt fate. Hang on a sec while I toss this salt over my shoulder. Give me just one moment while I make a wish on that falling construction worker over there on that next building, and we're good. Folks, normally when a show jumps the shark, it's a sign that it's over. It's a sign that the end is nigh. But today, it's a sign that it's lunchtime. I like shark, and I'll eat damn near any part of the shark if I think it'll either taste good or help me live longer. So I say, bring it on, Jaws. Let's see if you can match your teeth to mine. We'll see who eats who first.
I'm betting on the shark.
And you're right to do so. Okay, I can't beat up a shark, but I can cook up a shark, and that's why we're at the top of the food chain. Not Jaws. Yep, today on Food Fight is finally going to jump the shark. And later, we're going to talk about my favorite vegetarian food, lamb. Yep, that's about as vegetarian as you're ever going to see me get. But right now, where to get the best shark and what you can do with it. Now, eating shark meat can expose you to high levels of mercury. But when has that ever stopped people from eating something?
No, right? All the fish nowadays has mercury in it.
And you should eat a little bit of poison every day. That's what I say. And that will build up your resistance to it. And forcing your body to deal with an adversary will better prepare it to fight things like cancer and death. So eating some shark could make your body a bit more aggressive, because you are what you eat. Would you rather be a ruthless, disease-killing force of nature, or a meek little blob of wobbling tofu?
I'm pondering. Tofu's kind of cute. Now I see it with googly eyes. A little square with googly eyes just wobbling on my desk.
Here's why shark meat is unique, and probably the only reason why you should eat it. Sharks, along with rays and skates, are the only fish whose entire skeleton is made up of only cartilage, except for the full jaw of teeth, which looks really awesome on a wall, by the way. No other fish have that, though. All the other fish in the ocean, they have bone cartilage. They
have bone skeletons. It'd be so much nicer if salmons were all cartilage, too, because I hate it when you just find that random salmon bone.
Oh, and this just kind of sticks into the side of your tongue.
Yeah, and it's like nowhere in the muscle.
And it kills your enthusiasm for the meal.
Yeah, if it was cartilage, it would have melted and made everything nice. And
right?
Come on, Jesus. Cartilage up your animals. There we go.
So they're really unique. And among other traits, the one that people like to really kind of focus on is that they don't seem to get cancer. It's for this reason that they've been hunted, harvested, sliced, diced, powdered, put into soup, taken as vitamins, and sometimes hunted to the brink of extinction. Sharks are 420 million years old. And I've guessed they've learned a thing or two. And since one of the things they've learned to do recently is to hunt people as prey.
Well, yeah, if you start killing off my friends, we're going to start fighting.
They're starting to add eating people as a bit of an instinct almost.
Yeah.
Some species are targeting surfers on purpose. In Australia, there are sharks that are now hunting people. They have realized that we're soft and chewy. And unlike seals, we don't bite back. And we're slow.
Yes.
Especially without our boards.
Yeah, we're not water animals.
We have zero protection.
Zero,
we just flop around at the surface of the water with this almost complete and total inability to swim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, we're served to them on a silver platter.
Yeah.
I think maybe the occasional shark has actually figured that out. So I think we should eat them before they eat us. We're human. It's what we do. The interesting thing you should know about sharks is that they're biologically, they've figured out a way to keep mercury from going into their unborn pups.
Really?
They have actually figured that out. That's interesting. Any animal that can do something like that kind of has my vote.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Now, you can eat most kinds of shark. It doesn't have to have any more mercury in it than tuna or swordfish, so you can easily swap one for the other. Eat it no more than once or twice a month, and then don't even worry about it. At most stores, and I like to go to the Asian stores for shark because I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
After all, they invented shark fin soup, so I mean, I trust their sharkiness. Anything in the store that looks like swordfish but says shark, you can buy.
Yes.
Looks just like it. And with that, you can marinate the meat in any acid like a tomato juice, any citrus marinade, white wine, fruit juice, especially pineapple juice works really well. You can grill it. Broil it, pan fry it, any tropical type recipe or ingredient works well with shark. They cook up quickly. What are some of the things that you like to do with shark?
Well, when we're playing with it before the show, we like to do pineapple kebabs. Came out really well with some teriyaki glaze. And almost any meat actually with that is really good. But with the shark, it was just a lot of fun. And then we made a little shark ceviche. And I've seen that at the farmer's market also.
That had only shark in it?
Well, shark and shrimp. You got to have some sort of little...
Yes, you know, I'm not terribly fond of putting shrimp in my ceviche. What I like is scallops.
Scallops.
Little scallops. They cook so quickly in there just from the citrus.
Yeah.
That they're kind of almost smoked.
Kind of, but I just wanted something to look different than the shark because the shark is a white meat when it's in there also. So I like to have like different colored meats in there because you can with seafood.
That's pretty fun stuff. So you're talking about cooking the shark first and then putting it in.
No, I...
No, you just want to chop it up and stick it in there?
Chop it up, stick it in there, let it sit in the acid overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
12 hours.
Yeah.
I like to soak that stuff for like 12 hours, just to be sure.
Just to be sure.
Just to be sure.
It doesn't burn in the acid.
No, it doesn't burn. Yeah. It cooks in the acid, but the thing is you also need that acid to kill off parasites.
Yes.
Which is important. Mm-hmm. So the longer the citrus acid has to kill off the parasites, I think the better off you are.
I should make a shark vodka ceviche. So instead of lemon juice, just throw in like your favorite.
That could be pretty good. Put a little Bloody Mary mix in there.
Yeah.
See how that tastes. That'll be good. Olive butter on toast.
Olive
butter. Could go with that.
That would be really good.
That could be pretty tasty. Don't overcook your shark. Mm-mm. They get tough if you do that. Just like any other heavy fish. Moistness is key. And the best way to avoid screwing that up is to serve it in a sauce or well marinated. If you're a grill guy, skewer the pieces. Give them a few minutes per side. Lots of lemon. What I like is grapefruit wedges.
Oh, nice.
On the side. A lot of people just do lemon and lime wedges.
Yeah, grapefruit's very untouched lemon-lime family. Like, it's the same type of bitterness.
It's underappreciated.
Yeah, I agree.
It's generally ignored. People see a grapefruit in the grocery store. They walk right past it.
Like, ew, God, why?
It's a citrus.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more bitter, but it goes great with a lot of things. And if you get a ruby red one, it's also pink.
It's beautiful.
Which is really nice. Yeah, it's got pink little wedges on the side. I like to use the grapefruit wedges instead of the lemon or lime wedges.
Yeah, me too.
For this. It's awesome stuff. You can also put pieces of your cooked shark into tacos.
Ooh, shark
the
tacos.
The ultimate West Coast food. Add some diced apple and some fresh cabbage slaw to those shark tacos. Buy some beer and then invite me over. Use flour tortillas, not corn tortillas. Corn tortillas are for losers. The pan-fried shark steaks. Coat the shark with a paste of like a coarse mustard, maybe a balsamic glaze in there. Maybe our new favorite, Sonomic, or fruit preserves, and saute that up for about 4 to 5 minutes per side. It's done when the meat is opaque and not a minute longer.
No.
You do not want to overcook
like squid,
this stuff.
It will overcook and just turn into just...
Hard.
Jello, yeah.
And then
cartilage.
It's like dry, nasty, chewy, flaky sort of. You got to really chew it. And then really sometimes if you overcook that kind of heavy fish, true with tuna and swordfish, it actually does make your tongue start to itch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it turns into the worst piece of fish you've ever had.
Which, just don't do that.
Yeah, just don't do that.
Don't dishonor the shark.
It's the king of the ocean. You need to honor that meat. You need to take care of it.
Yeah. And use it all.
And use it all.
And eat it all. Mm-hmm. Turn some of it into kebabs. Turn some of it into pan-fried steaks with grapefruit or blanc. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds
and
great.
Then turn the rest into like an awesome ceviche. And you can also take a beautiful piece of Kobe meat and then serve it a nice pan-sautéed, fresh dill butter sautéed shark steak on top.
Ooh.
It is now surf and turf.
It is now surf and turf.
You don't have to bother with those lobsters.
Yeah, come on. Lobsters are overdone.
Yeah, so passé.
And they cost too much for what they are.
Very
it's
expensive.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's a lot of shark meat available.
Yeah.
Because people are hacking off their fins, and that's the only part they want, and then they leave the rest of the shark. There's plenty of shark meat to go around. Have a little bit of it. If you want to do a quick cheat sauce for any kind of grilled shark, any grilled fish for that matter, take some honey mustard with any leftover sweet and sour sauce. Use those little freebie sauce packets from fast food places. Everyone has them in their deli drawer.
Yeah.
Like dozens of them. Get the honey mustard one. Take a sweet and sour one. Mix them together. Very nice.
C'est magnifique.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Just throw away the little packets.
So nobody knows.
Sprinkle some chopped cilantro on top. People will think that you took all afternoon making it.
Oh.
When we come back, shark politics. Republican, Democrat. Next time, I'm voting for the shark. Don't know which one that is? Join the club. Actually, we're talking about real sharks and real shark politics. Food Fight Radio is jumping the shark right after this break.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa, hand tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life. One meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS. Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Blair Katz. And with me in studio is a man who'd prefer to take a bite out of a shark than the other way around, Chef Marcus.
Yeah, I don't see anyone who would disagree with that statement.
Well, vegans, they can't, no matter how much the shark is attacking them, they can't bite back.
No, you can defend yourself as a vegan. It's just not going to go out and bite a shark. That skin's really tough, though, too. Have you ever pet like a shark?
I don't think so.
It's almost like sandpaper.
So only the one way. Oh. It's like a shark skin suit. Yeah. Like you pet it one way and it's nice fabric. You pet it the other way and it's like rough. That's what shark skin's really supposed to be like.
Yeah.
So if you pet them the one way, they're supposed to be all nice and smooth like a little pet.
Oh, little pet shark.
Little pet shark that's gonna bite you. Now, normally, it would not be in my nature to feel bad for bloodthirsty man-eating predators, but compared to PETA activists and bunny bombers out there, sharks seem downright peaceful, kind, and even a little bit charming. Heck, I'd rather share my dinner table with a shark than a politician any day. But for a shark, politics are a big deal. There's a whole back and forth on hunting them and also saving them, and a whole illegal poaching thing where fishermen cut off their fins, it's called finning, and toss the rest of the shark back into the ocean. To make sure that we can keep shark on the menu for the next few thousand years, we're going to take an in-depth look into the dark, dirty, and subversive world of shark politics. So there's an environmental concern, obviously.
Obviously. If you got something that's not eating or trimming their herds, then they're going to overgrow and eat too much vegetation and kill themselves off that way. You need predators, and people coming in and kind of getting rid of some of the sharks hurts everything.
Well, they're not just getting rid of some of the sharks. No. They're getting rid of millions of sharks.
Yeah, half the population.
Granted, most of the world is covered in water, and there's a lot of ocean, and there's many, many, many hundreds of millions of sharks out there.
Yes.
But millions of sharks is enough to actually make a dent.
Yes.
And cause an actual problem. That's not the only reason why people are upset, though. People are upset because of the way they do it.
Oh, yeah. It's just messed up. They'll grab any shark they can, any age, and just rip the fins off and throw back, or cut the fins off, probably.
Well, they don't kill the shark first.
No, they throw it right back in the water alive.
Yeah, they haul the fish out of the water onto the deck of the boat. They take a machete.
Mm-hmm.
They grab the fin. They saw the fin off. Mm-hmm. And not just the dorsal fin, but sharks have other smaller fins on other parts of them. All their fins. I think they have like five fins or something per shark. They hack them all off. So there's nothing left but a tube with teeth.
Yes.
And then the shark, still wriggling around, they toss him back into the ocean, and then it sinks, of course, because it can't swim.
It can't swim, and it needs to move to breathe.
Now it's bleeding, and it's drowning, because it's sinking. It can't swim. It can't get oxygen out of the water. So now this shark that's still alive is slowly sinking to the bottom of the ocean while suffocating to death.
Yes.
In pain. So that's cruel.
That's messed up. Yeah.
It's pretty cruel. I mean, I'm not against eating animals, any kind of animal. If I'm interested in eating foie gras, anyone who's interested in foie gras is the type of people we're talking about. These are non-PETA people.
Yeah, exactly.
I am a non-PETA person. I disagree with stuff that they do. It's fine that they go and they rescue chihuahuas from inappropriate homes.
Yes.
That's great. That's a whole nother animal thing. But PETA is trying to save animals that would otherwise be used for consumption anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks can be used for consumption anyway.
Yeah, like if they did this legally, they could use the whole shark and sell that. But they grab all the endangered sharks and...
Well, they're never going to use all the shark because they're catching and finning millions of sharks.
Yeah.
There just isn't a big enough market for that much shark meat.
Mm.
That is why they're throwing them away. And the fins are so much more valuable than the meat itself. The meat is worth pennies per pound, and the fins are worth hundreds per pound.
Hundreds.
So obviously the storage capacity on these boats is going to be best put to use filling it full of valuable stuff. And the fin being only made out of cartilage, it takes a long time to spoil.
Mm,
so it can stay on this ship for a long, long time. And really, these things need to be dried out before they can sell. So not only is it a valuable product, but you basically let it go stale and dry out, and then it becomes its most valuable. Storage isn't a problem. Keeping it fresh isn't a problem. This is not a refrigeration process that they have to follow. It's a huge thing. But there is a massive debate. We don't get this a lot in the U.S. because,
we don't eat shark fin soup that often.
Yeah. Typically, if you go into an Asian restaurant, you're not going to see shark fin soup on the menu.
No.
But if you go into an authentic Asian restaurant, which usually only Asians do.
Yeah.
They're getting the tripe soup. They're getting the stewed chicken feet. They're getting sliced jellyfish. They're going to be eating all the traditional, old-fashioned, dare I say, disgusting foods. Right? Shark fin soup is one of those traditional foods.
Yeah.
There's no market for it for Americans. Mm-mm. We are not interested in eating this. One of the reasons we're not interested in eating this is because it's disgusting.
It's just cartilage soup.
Now, I don't know if anyone out there is familiar with what kind of a texture cartilage has a tendency to create.
Yeah.
But let me remind you of another favorite cartilaginous dessert of America, Jell-O.
Yep.
And, we were talking about bird's nest soup on an earlier show. Kind of similar, made out of spit, gets hard, you put it in water, and it reacts like clear Jell-O.
Yeah.
Cartilage of a shark does much the same thing. And it's going to kind of flop around and be gooey and make little chunks. Some people, they will separate it into strings.
Fun.
Yeah.
So shark noodles?
It makes weird, clear, shark, viscous, gelatinous Jell-O noodles.
Yay.
In your soup. And when you spoon the soup, you've got all these nasty aloe vera-like saliva goo strings.
I'll take two, please.
Hanging off your spoon. And of course, when you eat it, you're then going to have this disgusting gelatinous goo dribbling down your chin.
It sounds like a bowl full of snot.
It sounds like a date food. Yuck. Ugh, why would you want to do that? The reason people want to do that is because it's a centuries-old tradition.
Yay.
Kind of like eating other disgusting things, like thousand-year-old in-the-ground fermented fish. which isn't actually 1,000 years old.
No.
But it is 90 days old.
90 days old.
It has been rotting under the ground for 90 days. They pull it up. It's been rotting in fermented rice.
Yes.
And it comes out, manure. Smells like rotten.
Yeah.
Tastes like rotten.
Mm-hmm.
They love it.
They love it.
I don't know why. It's like a lot of traditional Chinese foods. It is supposed to make you more manly. It's supposed to make you more virile. It's supposed to fight disease, and it's supposed to help you live longer.
If it doesn't kill you.
Right. Right. Well, it's I mean, you know, why would, I don't want to eat this stuff.
No, no.
I mean, I would try it just to say that I've tried it.
I would have to, but.
Well, you're going to have to because I'm going to feed it to you at some point, and then it's just a test of manhood.
Well,
if I can eat something you can't eat, you know, how can you show your face again?
I'll never do that. I'll wear it back over my face.
Good thing we're on the radio.
It says I'm not on the radio anymore.
So people, even of the Asian culture, they debate. The young millennial Asians don't like it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is stupid. Why are we doing this?
It's stupid. Why are we doing it? It's not good for the planet. Mm-hmm. It's not good for the sharks. Obviously.
And clearly, <tastes good. laughs>
clearly chopping the fins off of the shark is not going to be good for the shark.
Uh-huh.
But you know how millennials are.
Yeah.
They like to state the obvious.
Yeah. Well, it's just pointing
out. And tweet about it.
There's no point in doing this anymore. Why are we still doing it?
So we're talking about restaurants, family kitchens. There's issues of animal cruelty. People talking about vanishing species, threats to human health.
With all the mercury, right?
With all the mercury. But then again, you know, we get the same arguments with tuna and swordfish. And of course, the rights of people to maintain their heritage, which is, that's something.
That is something.
And people do have that right. But at what point does that stop?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if there were still Aztec cultures remaining, would it be their right to sacrifice people? Would that be their right? Based on their heritage and tradition of sacrificing people, would they? No. So this is kind of sort of the same thing. Now, imported fins and the shark things, they come in. They're usually, because they're kept in these unsanitary conditions on these boats, and this is why there's a health issue, they're usually contaminated with insect and rodent and other animal filth.
Of course.
Sometimes show up in this country filthy, putrid, and completely decomposed.
Delicious. Can I have another bowl, please?
Yeah, all they do before they put it into the soup is dry it out. They don't do anything else to it.
No.
They can't soak it in water.
No.
Because it'll turn into goo again.
Yeah, exactly.
They need it to be firm and hard when they start cooking it. So they can't really clean it. They can't filter it. They can't contaminate it. They're not going to blast it through tubes of ammoniated gas like McDonald's does with their meat.
Uh-huh.
You know, can't do that.
They can't salt it. Maybe they can salt it or lye it. One of those two.
Salt it and lie it?
One
like lutefisk.
Exactly what I was thinking. Lutefisk is jello anyway. So
yeah, which is probably very similar, actually. So there's a whole big thing. The young Asians against it. The older Asians with it. Like kids are telling their parents that when they get married, they are not serving shark fin soup at their weddings.
Nice.
Some families are not speaking to each other for years because of this. Because the older generation, it's part of their right and family tradition. And people have been doing this. In China, they've been eating this stuff since it first appeared on the emperor's table around the year 1400 during the Ming Dynasty. Mm. So people have been eating this stuff for 600 years.
Okay.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
But it's not so long that you can't stop doing it.
Exactly. How long have we been eating unleavened bread? But still, you know, that's longer.
Unleavened bread isn't made up of a creature.
No, exactly.
And it's not any good.
No.
It's... You kind of cover that with all kinds of stuff and turn it into some kind of matzo brie to make that stuff.
Well, I'm happy the market's going to dry up for it then. I mean, if the older generation's dying out and the younger generation doesn't want it, then the market's going to dry up and hopefully that'll help stop. Eventually,
but it's also expensive and it's also considered a delicacy. And in my experience, something like that is also a dare food. So there's always going to be people out there like me that are going to trick people like you into eating this stuff.
Like snake venom and scorpions. Their food.
And, you know, balut.
Well,
I mean, hey, our show is still young.
Yeah.
I'm going to have lots of opportunities to torture
600
you.
600 years of horrible food.
So there's about about a third of the 360 different species of shark, about the 40 most abundant types, they're all heading toward extinction.
Oh, now they're, yeah.
Because of this. Yeah. And it could be that, you know, eventually some of these very important species do die out entirely. They might.
Because
just about everything's been around longer than us. It's because of a soup that isn't even any good.
No.
That's kind of what I have a problem with. It's not cool. And there are laws. So people that are doing this are breaking the laws. They're poachers. People are getting this stuff usually illegally. President Clinton signed the original Shark Finning Prohibition Act in 2000. So you see, he wasn't just fooling around the whole time.
No.
He was doing other important things. He was protecting the sharks.
Yeah.
And Barack Obama signed a stronger and slightly more protective Shark Conservation Act. So it's called the Save Jaws Act.
Nice.
Which I think is sort of asking for it to fail.
Yeah.
Because who's going to really feel bad for Jaws? I don't know if anyone was paying attention in that movie, but Jaws was the bad guy.
Or he's just misunderstood.
He's misunderstood.
He's just hungry.
He's upset because he has a toothache.
Yeah.
He has a lot of teeth. And where are you going to find a dentist in the Atlantic Ocean?
Nowhere.
Right? See?
No, and he knows humans are dentists, so he's trying to find them. And then run away, he catches them. He doesn't have hands.
One toothache.
He can only catch them in his mouth.
One toothache will put you in a bad mood for a week. These things have hundreds of teeth. They probably have many toothaches at any one given time. Can you blame them for being so ornery?
No.
Can you? They don't even have fingers and hands. They can't pick stuff out of their teeth. No. They can't floss. Anyway. So, that's all scary stuff. When we come back, and I don't feel bad for the shark. I feel bad that they're torturing them. When we come back, the meat gives you mercury. The fins get you arrested. But what if the cartilage makes you live longer? Then we won't be so judgmental about that whole soup thing, will we? The scary truth about shark cartilage is coming up next. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma, are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online, and they'd bring fresh, hot gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you, and the food was always different, and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma, that must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. What are you doing? Ooh, that is scary. That sharks are scary. The movies, the stories, that one-armed surfer thing. Stop it. But sharks have more reason to be afraid of us than we do of them, except that they're basically puffed-up brainless fish with 420-million-year-old simplified instincts that make it a tad difficult to feel really sorry for them. But we're humans. We have a tendency to feel sorry for things. I mean, I don't feel bad for the cow or the chicken, so why would I feel too bad for the shark? I'll tell you why. Only because they are tortured before they die.
Yeah.
That's it. People everywhere would probably be fine with the whole finning process if the shark was shot in the head with a big metal electrified bolt like cows or beheaded like chickens. The fact is, water and electricity do not mix. So having that whole process on a boat is just a really bad idea. And these poachers are obviously too cheap to spend money on bullets.
Yeah.
Fix that problem, though, and then it's open season. We do like taking shark cartilage supplements, though. And here's why. Shark cartilage has been marketed as a cure for cancer.
Oh.
Yeah. While this is a myth.
Totally myth.
Myth.
It's cartilage.
Myth. Okay, it's basically
sharks
gristle.
Sharks don't get cancer because they eat fish their whole life and nothing else.
So you should eat more shark.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of shark meat out there.
Hey, problem solved.
Like I said,
wow.
Eat the meat.
Billions of dollars and decades of research, and we just solved it. Eat more fish.
Eat more fish.
Eat more fish. Easy. Shark cartilage has been touted as a cure for cancer. BS.
No, of course. It's just
absolute
cartilage.
Absolute BS.
It's just jello.
There is stuff that shark cartilage can do. It's thought to play a role in diseases of the eye, gums, skin, blood vessels, joints. It could maybe, if you take it your whole life, prepare yourselves a little bit better to help avoid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're old already, you start taking this stuff now, it's not going to be a magical pill.
It's preventative.
And also, shark cartilage addresses illnesses that involve fibrous tissue and joints and ligaments. Now, that's not fighting cancer, but it will prevent you from getting an injury that will cause you to break a hip, that will put you in a wheelchair and make you bedridden until you die. So if you do take this stuff, you will be more limber and active, and your joints are going to treat you better.
Now, is this just shark fin or just the
shark cartilage?
Or just cartilage.
You don't need the fin.
Yeah, well, cartilage, just shark cartilage, right?
Shark cartilage, their entire skeleton is made out of cartilage,
yeah.
And these are creatures that we're hacking up their meat and selling it in stores for consumption. So the cartilage skeletons from these exact fish, not their fins.
Not their fins.
Now, don't go out of your way and get the fins. Totally not necessary. Shark cartilage. You're not going to find a pill that says shark fin.
No, of course not.
You will find a pill that says shark cartilage. And basically, okay, it's gristle.
Yeah.
It's gristle. But coming off of a shark, it's a little bit more exotic.
Ooh.
It seems more cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go out and we're going to get that. It's a good treatment for common wear and tear type injuries, osteoarthritis, any kind of arthritis. It's a disease of the joints. This stuff is going to help ward off any disease of the joints. If you're already taking glucosamine and chondroitin, something you should be doing if you're beyond 30 or you play any sports at all, you really should be taking also some shark cartilage. Make sure you get it from a pure source because you want to make sure that it's been filtered. When you're powdering this stuff, the cartilage, the cartilaginous skeleton, this is not the fin. It can be cleaned.
Yes.
It can be cleaned. Mercury can be removed.
Exactly.
Get it from a good brand. You're not going to be getting any extra mercury, and that frees up your blood to go and eat shark as a tasty dinner a couple of times a month. You can do both.
Yay.
You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. Now, people have done animal studies trying to use shark cartilage for fighting cancer. Mm. They have. Millions of dollars has gone into it. The findings have been eh.
Meh.
Meh. The official findings of these reports is meh. Okay.
Meh.
Some of them are positive. Some of them are actually negative.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, if they take too much shark cartilage, they can poison their livers.
Oh, that's dangerous.
If they take a bad kind. I mean, it's safe to eat. It's safe to take. It's fine. Take it. It'll probably do your joints a favor. You might be saving yourself that whole I've fallen and I can't get up situation. So you may benefit from it. Isn't that enough to send most people running into the vitamin shop?
No, not yet.
No? Really? No. I think it is. Also, shark cartilage is cheap, so no real problem there. Get a good one, avoid the extra mercury, and you're good. If you don't want to find shark cartilage, you could always chew on some cheap, gristly meat at your brother-in-law's next barbecue.
Yep, he always gives it to you.
Yep.
For some
reason,
time. Your brother
always just, he gives you the nastiest piece on there.
He's just saying he wants you to be limber for the rest of your life and happy and healthy.
He's trying to take care of you.
He's trying to take care of you. It's
Isn't
not
that
mean.
Sweet? This and the scary truth that I was talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
Ever seen Deep Blue Sea?
Is that the way they make the sharks smarter?
It's a movie where this scientist wanted to get more of these anti-Alzheimer's brain tissues out of these test sharks, so she mutated them to be bigger and smarter, and they killed everyone and tried to escape. What could happen in real life, whenever you have well-intentioned smart people doing a crazy thing, huge nerd sharks, African killer bees, something bad always happens, meaning people get desperate when you mention the words cancer cure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then bad movie stuff happens. Killer animals, shocktopuses, zombies. Marcus was just telling me about this movie called Sharktopus, which is, okay, it's an octopus, but instead of the beak on the underside, it's got a shark head.
Yeah, it's a spliced octopus shark.
Which is weird.
Yes. So it's all the scariness of a shark with all the tentacles of an octopus.
And in this movie, did this happen naturally? Or was this, of course, was a scientific mutation?
Of course.
Of course. Now, that's crazy and could never happen, right?
Well,
right?
You're scaring me.
See, because something like this could actually happen.
What?
Because people do get desperate. When they start putting money and all the scientists everywhere, these are animal scientists. They work with animals. They test animals. They're constantly mutating animal genes to try to find a way to work with their cure du jour, which in this case is shark cartilage, shark DNA, not that big a leap.
No.
Okay, so if you want perfect sharp cartilage or a perfect shark's ability to not get cancer, translate that to a human. Okay, you start mixing sharks with people here.
Is that what they're doing? They're mixing DNA a little bit, like a DNA cocktail? Is that what's going on? Or
that's what will be happening.
Okay.
Because people are not giving up on this, because for 420 million years, sharks haven't been getting cancer. People want to know why. Why?
Why?
Maybe it's because they eat fish.
Maybe it's because they eat what they're supposed to eat and not processed foods.
Aha!
Have they tried to feed shark processed foods?
No, I think you've actually touched on something here. People, I think, maybe need to take a little bit more of a global approach to their cures.
Yeah.
Meaning they need to realize that the cure for things like cancer and AIDS isn't likely going to be a one-shot miracle pill. It's going to be a bunch of stuff. All kinds of things working together. Like less junk, less fast food, less deep-fried oil, less cornstarch, less packaged stuff, less MSG. More lean protein, more green and dark veggies, eat an apple instead of a Snickers, stop using plastic water balls over and over and over again, take enough vitamins, eat the occasional piece of mercury-filled fish, catch the occasional cold, drink some alcohol, get soaked to the bone by rain, stretch, stand while eating dinner or watching TV, pick like five of these things, skip the rest. Life can't be too restrictive or that'll kill you too, or it'll make you so lame that you want to kill yourself. If nothing else about the whole shark thing does anything for you, then, okay, how about this nugget? If nothing else works on you, if you're, okay, I don't care, sharks, who cares?
Who cares?
Right? It's not going to affect me. You're wrong. Without the sharks to eat all of the smaller fish, the ecosystem goes out of whack. Destroys all the seaweed, the oxygen level in the atmosphere goes down, and then blammo, no more people. Chew on that chestnut, you crazy old-fashioned bogey soup-slurping weirdos. Coming up next, we're going to talk about my all-time favorite vegetarian food, lamb. Food Fight Radio has jumped the shark, and now we're on the lamb. We'll be right back.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. and the winner by a knockout. Knockout Pizza Miramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio. I'm your host, Claire Katz. Now, to date, this show has made it no secret. This show host has made it no secret that she thinks vegetarianism and veganism is lame. Now, she, okay, you know what? Talking in third person for any length of time is really hard. I think vegetarianism is silly, and so is veganism. We're predators, animals. We should eat like predatory animals. That's my dream date, actually. Disembowel something and then drag it home for dinner. But that shouldn't imply that I don't respect people's choices. I do. I totally do. In fact, when all the vegetarians die of malnutrition, there'll be more meat for me. I'm just kidding. I think it's silly, but I wouldn't appreciate some big dummy telling me how to be. So if you people want to kid yourselves and think you're doing yourselves a favor by eating only veggies and beans, that's fine. I respect you. And to prove it, we're going to devote this entire segment to the all-time best vegetarian protein, lamb.
Wait, lamb's not a vegetarian protein.
Lambs are vegetarian. Enough said. Here's what you can do with lamb. What can't you do with lamb?
I was going to say, I was like, wow, let's go. All right.
What can't you do with lamb? It's lean, it's exotic, it's flavorful, it's easy to cook, hard to screw up, and it makes great leftovers. You want to impress someone from out of town? Make lamb.
Yeah.
What's the difference between lamb and mutton, you ask?
Age, isn't it?
Well, yeah, actually.
Sorry.
I thought you were going to, you know, be like, what? What's mutton? No, it's mutton is the same exact animal. It's just older.
Older.
And that makes it tougher.
And that makes a good mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
Mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Mm-hmm. When the mutton is nice and lean and the tomatoes are ripe, the soprooky. So. I love that. We're nerds. But with lamb, get an animal that's less than 2 years old and it'll still officially be lamb.
Yes.
Mutton is technically sheep that's older than 2 years and is now mad.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
mad,
I think
crazy or mad.
Mad like ticked off.
Yeah,
I think mutton can only come from an animal that's bitten someone. That's like cranky.
And something happens over the 2 years where their mineral level rises. So the minerality of it, their meat.
Yeah, it's harsher. It has a flavor that some people don't even like.
Yeah.
And I've had mutton, and it's no good.
That's why there's no mutton.
It doesn't
anywhere.
Even sound like it's going to be good.
Mutton.
If someone tells you they're making mutton,
yeah,
you know, you're going to be like,
mush,
what?
Mud?
No.
What is it?
What, were you too cheap to get me lamb?
No, I was too lazy. I didn't get to the animal in time.
You know what you can do with mutton? Nothing.
You can chop it up and use it as shark bait to catch sharks.
Ooh, hey, that's not actually a bad idea. Putting mutton on the menu. But with lamb, it is so versatile that it's more versatile than beef, I would say. I mean, you can use it for darn near anything.
Yeah, and the animals are built the same way, so all the same cuts apply.
They also eat the same food, eat the same diet. It should be light in color. The lighter the color, the younger the meat. Baby lamb should be pale pink. Of course, some people feel bad eating baby lamb. Baby lamb is a very teeny tiny cute little baba.
Aw, baba.
They still chop them up and serve the meat, and it's more expensive meat because, you know, they get less meat on an animal, so they got to charge more per pound.
You call any animal baba, people are going to love it. Well, you call baby sharks baba, they're like, aw, little baba.
Baba shark.
Yeah.
I can't eat that. Ow. Little bastard's
little
got
baba
teeth.
Baba bit me.
Chop its head off and throw it on the grill.
Give me his fins right now.
But lambs aren't going to bite you.
No.
They're going to make, they have warm little cute noses.
They do, and they nuzzle
and
you. And they push you with
they nuzzle
head.
You, they butt you with their little heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's attractive on a small animal, but not when a big sheep does it.
No.
You know? And then, of course, there's the very lovable show, Shaun the Sheep.
He's Shaun the
which
Sheep.
Gives them personality.
He's Shaun the Sheep.
Stop it. And they do things and they think and they're friends.
Uh-huh.
And then what's for dinner?
Shaun the
Shaun.
Sheep. It's Shaun the Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep is for dinner. What kind of stuff do you like to do with lamb?
I like stuffing it. Getting the loins and all that. Or
I like rest. Stuffing myself with it.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
I love racks of lamb. It's fun to play with the bones. It's just neat. It's just a neat look. Cooking a rack of lamb and having those bones come up and those little frilly things on top of it, getting a nice rub of mint and basil all over it and salt and roasting them slowly.
And you can use pretty much all of the lamb. The best tender cuts are going to be the rib, the rack, the crown, and the chops. Mm-hmm. You can get the loin, which is there's a loin, there's a double loin, and then there's the leg of lamb, which you can cut it into cubes for kebab. It's a little bit more muscly. It's a little bit more, the muscle works more.
Yeah.
When the animal is living. And so that's going to be a little bit more, less tender, but it makes wonderful steak. You can take the meat off the leg of the lamb and you can actually turn that into a chop.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be very tasty. I prefer the rib.
The rib meat?
Yeah, the rib meat. The rack of lamb is like my all-time favorite cut of lamb.
Yeah.
Because you can have fun with it.
You can play with it so much, yeah.
And here's another reason why it's super cute. You know how people like racks of ribs, like beef ribs and baby back pork ribs?
Yeah.
Okay, well, when it's a rack of lamb ribs, they're littler and they're adorable.
They're kind of cute.
They're so cute. And, you know, you don't cut them into chops.
Mm-mm.
You cook the whole rack so that when you do eventually cut them into chops, the inside is jewel pink.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful, rare, and it's tender and juicy, rare. This is not a meat that lacks flavor.
No. Oh, no, not lamb at all. Yeah.
And lamb stew is also very nice.
Very, very nice.
And if you're dealing with the leg, you know, you can use that because it's a slightly tougher cut. You can get any piece of lamb.
Yeah.
Any piece of a part of that animal, it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
The tougher stuff. Lamb stew is wonderful. Swirl a little yogurt into that stuff at the end.
Mm.
You know, throw some figs in there.
I was gonna say, I love it with figs.
Because the little fig seeds, they pop.
Yeah.
You know, and they get all in there.
Figs.
Wonderful texture.
Really
like put some brown rice in there. Very, very tasty. See, I'm getting hungry again.
Yeah, me too.
I need lamb stew and a beer.
Lamb stew and a beer.
It sounds like a very German meal.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, better than mutton.
Better than mutton.
what isn't?
Better than mutton.
What else can you do with lamb? You personally?
So me personally, I've made lamb burgers when I've had leftover scraps.
Ooh, lamb burger.
And right now I want to try just talking about. I want to try like mixing it beef and lamb like together but separate on the same patty.
Yeah, ground lamb. Take some ground beef and turn it into a lamb burger.
Lamb burger.
Ah, that's cute. Put some bacon on there.
There we go.
And then you've got three different animals in one burger.
You put a fried egg on top of that.
Ooh, baby chicken on top of there.
And then you use some Worcestershire sauce that has fish, and you're set. You have
wait, that's every single area of meat.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
We got to have that.
We're going to make that. I'm going to take pictures.
Wow, I'm really excited about that now. That's going to be great. Put some cheese on there, too, because that's made from milk from the cow.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have that on there too? I think that meal would lend itself nicely to being a cheese lamb burger.
Cheese lamb burger.
Yeah, or a Limburger.
Limburger.
Limburger lamb burger.
Limburger lamb.
How about that? That could be good.
That'd be really
find
good.
A butcher.
Yes.
Ask him for some decent prime lamb because they do grade this stuff the same way that they grade beef. And if you're going to get something wonderful and delicious, you want to get prime. The best lamb in the world is considered to be the Presal. Which is French. It means salty field. And these are the lambs that, and this is going to sound very fancy, these are the lambs that graze on the meadowlands of the salty shores of Brittany and Normandy.
Oh.
Ooh, isn't that fancy?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that sound great? Don't you want to get some imported meat from there? The grass that grows on this salty land It gives the lamb meat a delicate, salty, natural flavor.
Oh, like the pigs that only eat acorns have that nice, rich,
They're more nutty.
Yeah.
And so these are lambs that salt themselves for your consumption. The most renowned area for this lamb is near Mont-Saint-Michel in France, which is, ooh, even fancier. Ooh. You may want to question the chef, though, if you find Preissal lamb on the menu in the U.S., because there is a really good chance that it is not authentic. There is not enough demand for lamb in this country to get these choice bits of lamb imported in.
All right, let's go to France.
Let's go to France. That's it. I've always wanted to try snail caviar. Oh, Marcus has that Charlie Brown wiggle frown again that he gets whenever I start mentioning a weird food. Because now he knows I'm going to make him eat it. Yep. So find a butcher. Get some meat. Take it home. You know, buy the stuff. Rub the meats down with spices, sea salt, coarse mustard, and then make heavenly sauces out of duck fat, wine, cream, preserves, and stuff. Bib yourself and eat it. Then say to yourself, I'm grateful that we clawed our way to the top of the food chain so I could take part in this incredible cycle and circle of life and experience in all its sensuousness the eating of another animal purely for the sake of enjoyment. Humans are super cool. Amen. That's my dinner prayer.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that. And that's how I feel about meat. Ever had sea urchin?
No, regrettably, I have not. I've been looking for it.
Well, good. We're going to have that this week.
Yay.
And tune in next week for, tell you what, folks, go to a sushi place this week, order sea urchin, eat it, then tune in next week to find out why you shouldn't have done that. It's seafoods that you shouldn't eat. Then we'll tell you how to get peanut butter into every meal of the day.
Ooh, I love peanut butter so much.
Also next week, could cauliflower be the new broccoli? Healthy, high in nutrients, and much tastier. You'll have to tune in to find out. This is Claire Katz reminding you that cheese is milk's attempt at immortality.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things. Every single day, things get in my way. Someone has to pay for the little things.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.